Virginia here. Glad you enjoy the work we do at Word of Mouth. We spend a lot of time filtering out a lot of bad ideas to make sure the stories we do are interesting. Your $5 or $10 donation allows us to spend the time to find the good ideas. The support link is at the top of the page at nhpr.org.
Word of Mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, a classics professor tracks the shape of history and calculates humanity's future. We'll hear some of the predictions he shared with the CIA. Also today, transplant tourism. People desperate for donor organs relocate to increase their chances. But we begin today with the nasty effect. The internet is a technological forum for public debate, cross-cultural exchange, and their very opposites. Reader comments sometimes take on characteristics more like the Roman Forum. It's in the comments section where sniping, shaming, and mean-spirited insults are pelted like so many rotten tomatoes onto a stage. A study published in the Journal of Computer-Mediated Communication measured the influence of reader comments on the articles they describe. Dietram Scheufele, science and communication professor at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, is one of the authors of the study. Dietram, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
You and your colleagues came away from the study with the term the nasty effect. Can you summarize for us what that means?
Well, a nasty effect is actually something that's very subtle in many ways. It's not something that relates to us making arguments or giving new information or trying to convince each other that we're right or wrong, but it's actually an effect that's simply based on the tone with which we do that. So the level of politeness or the lack of civility, for that matter, and how that really reshapes what we think we just read and what we've just learned.
Let's dig into that a little and talk about how your study was done. It was based on a fictitious post about a scientific study. Now, why? What was this particular story designed to reveal?
So what the story was all about, it described an aspect of nanotechnology, so this new technology that we invested billions and billions of dollars in as a country, and that has both upsides and downsides, potential risks associated with it, and a lot of course, economic and other benefits. And the study described those in a fairly balanced fashion. It was actually written by a science writer who we paid to write this very neutrally. And everybody, and we gave them to a national sample of respondents, and everybody saw the exact same story. And that story then was followed by a set of comments. Those comments also, again, highlighted the pluses and the minuses, and the content, the arguments presented in the comments, again, were exactly the same. Everybody saw the same. The only difference was that some groups were exposed to a more civil version of this, and some people were exposed to a less civil or a more impolite version of this. So those folks heard the same arguments, but maybe there was a you idiot attack built into it. And that small tweak, just that level of politeness, changed how people then reinterpreted the story that they just read and also looked at the technology in a more negative light.
Huh. You found that it was actually more polarizing. People were more likely to take sides. Why does this occur? Any theories on that?
Well, I think it's in many ways it mirrors what we've seen in this country as far as the general discourse has been going. And I think if we just look back, for example, to the healthcare debate, the issue with the healthcare debate was not that we disagreed on the arguments in favor or against. That was not the problem. Disagreement, in fact, is a very good thing, as a lot of research shows. But the issue with the healthcare debate was also the fact that we didn't just disagree with certain aspects. We also then proceeded to immediately call Obama, Hitler, or a Nazi, and whatever else. And the same thing, of course, worked on both sides. So I think it's really that tone that pushes us into our respective camps and makes us listen less to the other side or just discount that completely.
We're talking about how reader comments can actually distort the perception of an article. Dietram Scheufele is with us. He's co-author of a new study on the nasty effect of reader comments on a news story that was published online. But you did use a science story for your example, or your experiment, mm-hmm. rather. Do you anticipate this nasty effect applying to any sort of reporting?
Probably even more so, yes, absolutely. We used the science story in many ways because the science story, of course, is not really all that open to interpretation. It's not a political issue that we may disagree with to start out with just based on our personal ideologies and beliefs. It was really something about scientific facts. And so the idea that those facts would get reinterpreted, of course, is much more surprising in many ways than if we had seen that effect in politics. And I think for other issues that are more open to interpretation, we'll see that effect even more.
We read about this experiment on your post in the New York Times, and one of the commenters to that story called the comment section a little window into human nature. I'm wondering, what kind of vision of human nature do we get in these unrestrained, anonymous forums?
Yeah, I think we as a society and as human beings, you know, for thousands of years have developed these a set of nonverbals and from, you know, ranging from raised eyebrows to whatever else that actually govern how we interact with one another. These nonverbals make us self-censor a lot more than we otherwise would, make us a lot more polite than we otherwise would. We don't do certain things in public that maybe we feel like, but we don't do because of our social environment. I mean, this is even smaller things. Like, you wouldn't show up at a funeral in a red suit because you simply know that one does not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But online, as a lot of commenters in the New York Times less so, but on other news sites, as we're hiding behind pseudonyms and elsewhere, what will happen or what does happen is that some of those inhibitions go away, that some of those social norms go away, and certainly it's some of that immediate feedback that we are used to getting from the raised eyebrows and whatever other nonverbals is going away. And I think that's really what undermines a little bit the societal norms that we've developed for a healthy and fruitful debate.
Well, there have been plenty of proposals from the New York Times and others, you know, proposing to moderate or monitor or maybe even pre-approve comments before posting. Now, what effect do you think that would have on the nasty effect, this open forum? I mean, are we beyond the point where we can put the toothpaste back in the tube?
In many ways, I think we can't, and in many ways, we shouldn't. I do think that one of the key advantages of this new media environment is that we have this open debate. It used to be that we have mass media that are very top-down, where people read stories that were written for them by journalists. Now we have a much more open discourse among journalists, policymakers, and the audiences. And I think that's not a bad thing necessarily, but we all, I think, have a lot of learning to do in particular audiences, and we haven't really figured out the best models yet. You know, some news sites have, or some blogs have used rating systems with thumbs up and thumbs down, and people can report abuse of the system and so on and so forth. But I think it's a matter of us learning how to interact in these online forums, because they won't go away. They'll become even more prevalent, if you will, and I think in many ways it's a matter of developing the same literacy that we have for how we interact with each other in offline settings.
Dietram Scheufele, John E. Ross Professor in Science and Communication at the University of Madison, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
You can read more on the study online at wordofmouthradio.org. Keep your comments nice.